Well, I hope and pray that you all had a great Easter. Did everybody have a good Easter? Come on, can we just one more time celebrate our risen Savior? Jesus is alive. Can we celebrate him one more time? Hallelujah. He's alive. Thank you, Jesus. I said last week that we're to experience Easter, not just celebrate Easter. Amen. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Oh, come on, you missed it, church. I said experience it, not just celebrate Easter. Watch this. There are many people, and I want you to, they come to church just to celebrate Easter with their family and friends, and then they go right back to life as normal. We had 800 people in here last Sunday. Hey, praise God. But where are they at? Church? This place should be standing room only every Sunday. Jesus deserves every Sunday. This place should be packed every single Sunday. He's worthy of a packed house every week, not just Easter. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a great story. I want to share it with you in the New Testament in Acts chapter 12. And it talks about what happened after Easter. And it's really, really significant, church. I want to share it with you. But how many of you know God has plans? Not just about Easter, but God has plans for you about what happens after Easter. Amen. After Easter was even greater. Hallelujah. The empty tomb was just the beginning. The empty tomb was just the initiation, because 7 weeks after Easter is the day of Pentecost, and Jesus said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Easter was just the beginning. Easter was just the beginning of God's power being released on earth. Hey, church, hallelujah. Jesus rose from the grave. He walked this earth for 40 more days. The Bible said he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. He assembled with his disciples, teaching them the kingdom of God. And that was after Easter. Everybody say after Easter. After Easter. Everybody say after Easter. After Easter. Acts chapter 12. Let's go to verse 1. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex or harass certain people of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Verse 3, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. These were the days of the unleavened bread. Verse 4, and when he had arrested him, he put him in prison. He delivered him to 4 squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter. Everybody say after Easter. Everybody say after Easter, to bring him forth to the people. And I'm going to stop reading right there. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this story from Herod. Herod had beheaded James. He had already killed James, the Bible said, with the sword. And he had arrested Peter. And he totally, listen to me very carefully, he totally planned and intended to do the exact same thing to Simon Peter. It said, intending after Easter, he was going to do the exact same thing to Simon Peter that he had already done to James. He was going to kill him by the sword. Amen. He was out to annihilate and destroy the apostles, and he was out to destroy any leadership of the church. Amen. But Herod had a problem. He had a collision with his calendar. I said he had a collision with his calendar. It was the days of unleavened bread, is what the Bible said. It was the feast of unleavened bread, and it was leading up to Passover, which is what we call Easter. Amen? It's what we call Easter. So it's leading up to Passover, and he knew that it probably was not going to be very conducive to start killing all the church leaders and start killing all of the apostles, come on, y'all, at Easter. Y'all awake this morning? It's probably not going to be very conducive for me to kill all the Christians on the biggest Christian holiday. Amen? So Herod, listen to this, he decided to put a hold on killing the apostles. right? He had already killed James, and now he was planning on doing the exact same thing to Peter, but because of Easter, he says, here's what I'll do. I'll put everything on hold. I'll let these little Christians have their, I'll call a reprieve here. He said, I'm just going to call a reprieve. We're not going to kill anybody right now. I'm going to let the little Christians have their little ceremony. I'm going to let the little Christians sing their songs. I'm going to let them do all of this, and I'm going to just call a little reprieve from my stealing, killing, and destroying. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? I'm going to let them have their little ceremonies. I'll let them go to the temple. I'll let them come to the church. We'll fill it up. Come on now. I'll let them sing their songs and do their little rituals of Easter. Fully intending, the Bible said, after Easter, that he was going right back to the same thing he was doing before Easter. Fully intending. Nothing was going to change. Nothing was going to happen. I'm just going to go and do this little Easter thing. Come on, church. As soon as Easter service is over, I'm going right back to business as usual. Doing exactly what I was doing before I came to church. Now watch. I think sometimes that Satan overplays his hand, y'all. I think sometimes that the devil thinks that he's on a roll. And just because he started something in your life, that's the way it's always going to be. But I am here to tell you this morning that things are not always going to be how they've been. I said things are not going to be how they've always been in your life. Church, listen to me. He was moving stones 2,000 years ago. We talked about it last week, and he's moving them today. He was moving stones 2,000 years ago. Things are not going to be like they always were in your life. Hallelujah. You got to get it. We serve a God that can interrupt the intentions of our adversary. He can interrupt the plans of the enemy. We serve a God that can make the devil's dreams into a nightmare. Woo! That's the kind of God we serve. He can interrupt. It's a divine interruption. He changed the devil's plans into a nightmare. Do y'all believe that this morning? Do you? Herod, listen. Herod intended to kill Peter afterwards. After the Easter service, he had intended to kill Herod, to kill Peter. He was going to go and he was going to continue to annihilate all the leaders of the church. And I want to say this. This is not a shot at anyone. And I'm in no way coming at anybody. But there's no doubt in my mind. Because Herod intended to go right back after Easter. And I see it every Easter. People come to church on Easter and they fully intend, listen, they have full intentions of, after the Easter celebration, going right back to life and living the exact same way they were doing before church. Where are they at? Where are they at? They come here with the full intentions of going right back to life as normal. Easter was just a little reprieve for them. Amen? Easter was just a little reprieve. Some of you have that I was kidnapped and dragged to church look on your face by a relative. Some of y'all look like that right now. You're like, y'all have that I was dragged to church look on your face. Okay, listen. I want you to understand this. Because they came intending, oh, okay, well, you know what, I'll go to Easter service, just get somebody off my back, right, come on, I'll go, but all of a sudden, the risen Savior shows up, amen, see, they come to church, and a risen Savior shows up, and you might have fully intended to go back to what you were. You were going to go back to the same darkness, the same depression, the same fear, the same worry that you were in. But when you encounter Jesus in a special way, come on, church, the risen Savior shows up. And when he is alive in your life, you will not return to what you came. Hallelujah. When Jesus is alive in your life, you will not return. You will come in here and you will not leave the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. I would love to know that the enemy has to take his day planner out and start marking off things that he had planned to do to your family, the things that he had planned to do, because he had intentions after Easter service to destroy your life, to destroy your family, and now he's got to pull his day planner out and start marking stuff off. Come on. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Hallelujah. Come on. Because the Lord showed up to somebody on Easter and changed everything for their life. People don't go back to what they were before. Now watch, this is something that's called divine disruption. It's called divine intervention. We need it. We need the same kind of power that got a hold of Herod and ended his Easter plans. We need that same kind of power in our life to get a hold of us and change our plans. Amen. We need that same kind of power that got into his life and changed his plans, because the Bible records that Peter was set free. I said the Bible records that Peter was set free. Herod didn't kill him. God changed his after Easter plans. Hallelujah. He was set free. What he had planned to do to him, listen, did not happen after Easter. He planned to kill him after Easter. And I believe today that we need to understand that the church has to be more. Even our Easter services, they have to be more than just a set-aside period of religious activities. Church, they got to be more than we just set aside these activities. We don't come in here just to sing songs and get all excited and get a little bit emotional. It's not what we're doing. Hear the same old message of the resurrection every year. It's a great message. We believe it. We stand on it. Right? We're proclaiming it. But here's the deal. It's the after intentions that really matter. Y'all still don't understand what I'm telling you. It's the after intentions. It was Herod's after intentions that were changed. It was his after intentions that were changed. He had plans after Easter. God didn't worry about all the stuff that happened before Easter. He changed his plans for after Easter. Four of you got it. Watch what I'm trying to show y'all. Listen. He changed his plans. It's your after intentions that really matter. I believe God doesn't want you to just come hear about a resurrected Savior and live like he's dead. I said, God don't want you to come in here and hear another sermon about a resurrected Savior on Easter and then go right back out there and live like he's dead. Go back out there doing the exact same thing she was doing. Church, it didn't stop at Easter. He wants to bring some of your intentions and change them after Easter. You don't go back to your proposed intentions. Did you hear me? We don't go back to these proposed intentions. I want to tell you, there's a divine disruption, church. Preaching should be more than entertaining. It should be life rearranging. I'm not up here to entertain you. I'm not up here to entertain you. Preaching should be more than entertaining. It should be life rearranging. And church should be more than just gripping and grinning and shaking hands and, oh, hey, how are you? Oh, where are we going to have lunch after the service? Oh, hey, how you doing? Church has got to be more than just gripping and grinning and shaking hands. If you're not coming in here to get your life changed a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want God to come in this room today, and I want him to change some marriages that walked in here fully intending to get a divorce. Y'all walked in here with intentions on getting a divorce, and God is fixing to change your plans. Maybe you walked in this morning and you intended on getting high when you left. You came to the wrong service. Woo! You came to the wrong service this morning. Oh, glory to God. You came to the wrong one. This is all about a resurrection power service right here. Glory to God. Maybe some of you walked in discouraged and depressed, but this can be a service where you do not go back out into that darkness because of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, look at Ezekiel 33:31. It says this. Watch this. It said, they come to you as people do. They'll fill the hallway. They'll set before you as my people all around this room. They'll hear your words, but they don't do them. They'll come in here and fill this room just like your people. They'll come in here and act like Christians. They hear the word of God and go right back out there and don't do none of it. That's what happens, church. Oh, man. I love y'all. They hear the preaching. They hear the word. But the question is, what is your intentions after this service? What are your intentions after this service? The truth is, the most important part is not the singing. It's not even the preaching. It's your response. It's your response. This ain't the important part. What Dustin does is not the most important part. How you respond to it is the most important part. Because if the preaching and the singing doesn't cause you to have a change in your intentions after this service, then it really didn't make a difference anyway. I wish I had about four or five people that would agree with that. If the preaching and the singing didn't change nothing in your life and you're going to go right back out there and do the same thing you was doing, then it was pointless. Amen? Amen? Then it's pointless. I want God to give us an intervention that will change us. We need a lasting change. Church, we need an intervention that's going to change us. We need a lasting change. The measure of this service this morning is how changed you are when you leave. It's not how many people are sitting here. The measure of this service is how changed you are when you leave. You can have 800 people in here. Where are they at? If you leave just like you came, then we have failed to proclaim Jesus the way he needs to be proclaimed. If you walk out of here the exact same way you walked in here, then we failed to proclaim Jesus the way he needs to be proclaimed to you. Hallelujah. Church, this is important. This is important stuff. Churches need pastors that are changed. Children need parents that are changed. Wives need husbands that are changed. Come on. Husbands need wives that are changed. Don't get on us. Get off me. Come on. We need change. We don't need to just come and call a reprieve on our anger and our bitterness and our angry words. And then we just go to church and everybody shut up and walk in like little saints. Everybody walk in like this. Everybody shut up. And then when you go back out, you're cussing, you're acting. Ain't nobody changed. You walk in here, just play church. Hallelujah. You just play in church. Soon as the service over, you go right back to hell on earth. Is that true? What are your intentions? What are your intentions? Hearing all of these services and being here, what good does it do if nothing changes when we walk out of here? What good does it do if nothing changes when we walk out of here? The most major change that happens in people's lives when they come to Jesus is in the first 3 years. Oh, I'm telling them. Jesus. The most major change that happens in your life when you come to the Lord happens in the first 3 years. We ask new converts to change everything. Change the way you talk. Change the way you walk. Change where you go. Change the places you do. Change the things you say. When you come to the Lord, we ask you to change everything. But when's the last time you added something to your conviction list in the past 3 years? When was the last time you added something to your conviction list? Praise God. Praise God. If you've been in church over 3 years, when was the last time you added something to your conviction list? When was the last time you walked out of a church service and you said, I'll never be the same? When? When was the last time you walked out of a church service? When was the last time that you felt a change? That you might have intended on doing something, but the Holy Spirit pricked your heart in a church service. Amen. When was the last time you might have intended on doing something tonight, but you came to the wrong service? I'm just telling you, because the Lord is going to change your mind today. You came in here planning, sneaking around, hiding things. You got your dirty little secrets, but the Lord has your number. And I'm sorry to tell you, this is not a seeker-sensitive message this morning. I'm going to read your mail, and I'm going to get all up in your business this morning. Is that all right? Huh? I'm about to read your mail. This ain't seeker-sensitive this morning. Come on. Some of y'all in here plotting and scheming right now. Y'all think I don't know? Y'all plotting in here screams. Yeah. Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody needs to hear this today. God has a plan for your life. You hear me? He wants to change your plans after this service, in this service. You hear me? Some of y'all got plans for after this service, and God's fixing to change them. He wants to change your plans for after this service, right now, in this service. Let me ask you a question. Do you come for a charge or do you come for a change? Huh? Do you come for a charge or do you come for a change? We need more than a charge. Whoa, that was a good word. I felt good. I'm all charged. I like that. We need a change. We need to be nice people, especially in the Secretary of State. Come on. We need a change. We need to be kind. We need to be generous. We need to be different. People need to see a change in you. Peter and John went to the temple, and the Bible says this in Acts chapter 3. Listen, there was a lame man at the gate called Beautiful, and he was begging for alms. He was begging for alms, and God gave him legs. Woo! Woo! That's the best it gets. That's the only joke I got for you today. He said he was begging for alms, but God gave him legs. I can see him sitting there. Listen. I can see him sitting there with his little tin cup at the gate, rattling his change, saying, change, change. You got any change? He's begging. Change, please. And that's exactly how we need to come to church. Change. You walk in these doors, you need to be saying change. That's how we need to come to the Lord. Change me. Every time we come to church, change me. I don't want to charge. I want change. Hallelujah. Change my spirit. Change my heart towards people. I want you to change my desires, Lord. Change me, Lord. That's how we're supposed to come to church. The lame man needed something that would lift him up. And some of y'all walked into this place and you're discouraged. You're beat down. You got a problem, but you have a choice. You can either marinate or elevate. You got a choice. You come in here discouraged. You come in here with problems. You come in here addicted and beat down. You can either marinate in it or you can elevate above it. Amen. It's up to you. You can wallow in your grief and your sorrow. You can wallow in your divorce. You can marinate in it or you can elevate out of it. You can get miracle legs. You can get miracle legs. You can get miracle legs. Hallelujah. That's what happened to the lame man. And God can cause you to come up just like he did the lame man. Amen. You may have come in here discouraged, but when you leave, through God's joy and God's strength, your past will not paralyze you anymore. Amen. Clap your hands if you believe it. He wasn't paralyzed. God gave him miracle legs. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 41, the Bible says that Pharaoh had a dream. And in this dream, he saw fat cows and skinny cows. And the Bible said that the skinny cows ate up all the fat cows. Amen? Y'all know the story. Have you ever seen a python or like a or a boa constrictor? Am I talking about when it eats something and you can watch it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You can watch this thing go all the way down. Well, you would think that if a skinny cow ate a fat cow, that you'd be able to tell that it ate a big cow. But the Bible says in Genesis 41, 21, watch this. It says that after they had eaten them up, it could not be known. You couldn't tell. Look, it says they were still ill-favored, lean, unhealthy cows. So here's what I want you to see. I think that's what happens to a lot of people in church. They're fed spiritually, a T-bone steak. They hear about Jesus. They get in a service. They eat the word of God. They get into praise. They get into an anointed atmosphere. But then they walk out the doors and they're anorexic spiritually. They're skinny. Nobody can tell there's been a change. They're still angry. They're still bitter. They're still nasty. They're still unforgiving. They're still upset. Something is wrong when you keep hearing this word of God and you walk out of here and you're just skinny and you're anorexic and nothing has changed in your life. Something's wrong. You hear me? Church, I'm serious. Something is wrong. There ought to be some health. There ought to be some strength in your spirit. You shouldn't walk out of here and still be ill-favored and lean and unhealthy. And I'm not trying to be mean this morning. I'm trying to challenge you. Where's the change? Where's the change? Do we just come in here to hear the word, or do we come in here to be changed? I'm serious. And I could have come in here this morning and preached this happy little after Easter message. Or I can come in here and preach what I believe the heart of God is. I can come in here and preach what I believe the heart of God is for this church. And God is saying, I don't want you to sit in another service and just hear another sermon. Yes, he's Lord. Yes, he's Savior. Yes, he's risen. Yes, he changed life. Yes, and then you walk out and you're still addicted and you're still bound up and you're still, come on somebody. Yeah, I believe it. You just come into church to hear another sermon and you walk out the same way you did when you walked in the door. Hallelujah. Whatever the enemy throws at you, you're skinny spiritually, you're weak. You can't overcome anything that the enemy throws at you. Fear. Worry, somebody's got to hear this. Somebody's got to hear this. The enemy's throwing all this stuff at you and you can't even overcome it. You're living in fear, worry, depression. You're spiritually weak. I want you to listen to me. On the day of Pentecost, we're going to talk about this on June 8th. Everybody say June 8th. The day of Pentecost. It was defined by two of nature's strongest elements. Wind and fire. It was defined by two of nature's strongest elements, wind and fire. The Bible says that the mighty wind blew into the upper room, and then it says that flames of fire, tongues of fire, set on each of them. Wind and fire. Wind rearranges things, and fire redefines things. I said wind rearranges things, and fire redefines things. Come on, church. The Holy Spirit is wind and fire. And if the Holy Spirit had any work that he wanted to do in your life, it would be to rearrange and redefine and oh, come on, somebody. If the Holy Spirit had any kind of work to do in your life, it would be to rearrange and redefine who you are as a Christian. Hallelujah. The point is this, guys, listen. You cannot change yourself. It's not enough to have good intentions. I said it's not enough to have good intentions. Say, well, I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna try to get better. Come on, church. It's not enough to just have good intentions. It takes the Holy Spirit, wind and fire, to redefine, to rearrange, to reschedule, and change your life and clean out some of those little filthy things. Hallelujah. It takes the wind and fire to rearrange and redefine some of those little nasty things that's in our lives. And he's here today. Praise him this morning. He's here today and he wants to rearrange your life. Hallelujah. If God had anything in mind at Pentecost, it was change. If God had anything in mind at Pentecost, it was change. Hallelujah. And there's something in my heart this morning that's crying, oh God, please change families. God, please change our ways and our lives. Families that are in pain, families that are in disarray, families that are fighting, families that are hurting. God, change us. Don't let me come into your presence and have the intentions that as soon as the very last amen is said, that I have the intentions to go right back to life the way it was. God help us. God help us. Soon as the last amen is said, go right out there and live like hell. Right back to that addiction. Right back to that hurt. Some of y'all are planning things even this week. I'm talking to somebody right now. Y'all planning things even this week. I'm preaching to you. But God's about to change your after service plans. God is about to change your after service plans. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel chapter 46, and I want to show you this scripture, and I'm all done. Ezekiel 46:9. You want to talk about change? This scripture was about the feast days, kind of like what we celebrated last Sunday. Amen. So this scripture is about the feast days, and he's commanding all of those who were worshipers to come in and worship the Lord, worship him on these special feast days. And listen to his instructions. Look at 46:9, Ezekiel 46:9. It says, but when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by the way of the north gate shall go out by the south gate. And whoever enters by the way of the south gate, in case you didn't just get what he just said, whoever enters by the south gate must leave by the north gate. And in case you're a little slow, he shall not return by the way of the gate through which he came. Guys, this is called the law of worship. He shall not leave by the way he came. Amen. You must go through what? The opposite gate. Now listen carefully. God said, I have one law concerning worship on feast days. That when you come in, and you come through those doors and you come in one way and you get in my presence, You are forbidden to turn around and leave the same way you came. The law of worship says if you come in the north gate, then you got to leave by the south gate. Opposite of the way you came in. If you came in carnal, you're going to leave spiritual. If you came in depressed, you're going to leave with joy. If you came in discouraged, you're going to leave encouraged. Come on, church. You will not come in the north and leave by the north. You will not come in the south and leave by the south. You will leave extreme opposite of the way you came in this morning. And what I'm trying to say to you is that God wants to alter your plans this morning, church. He wants to change your intentions. Hallelujah. There's something about the power of the word. God wants you to get in this place. And real change start to happen in your life. There's something about the power of this word, church. I'm telling you, it can change us. Herod was intending after Easter to go right back to the same thing he was doing, but he was stopped by the power of God. Hallelujah. Some of you walked in here addicted. Some of you walked in here lost and far from God. You came in one way, but you're going to leave another. I said, you came in one way, but you're going to leave another. You may walked in here far from God, but you're going to leave His child restored and renewed, washed and cleansed. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet for me this morning. I'm all done. Nobody moving. Come on, hang on for a minute. If you're in here this morning, and you say, God, I need a change. I didn't come here for a charge. I don't want to leave here the same way I came in. Hallelujah. God is ready to change your life this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And if that's you and you say, God, I don't really know you. I have never really accepted Jesus into my heart. I don't even really know what real change feels like. I've been depressed so long. I've been addicted so long. I don't even really know or believe that I can change. You can't. But God can change you.